If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
A currency to another, this time a cryptocurrency. We're going to talk all things to do with Bitcoin. And I recall a few years ago when this was still a hard topic, still trying to get introduced and understanding Bitcoin, there was a lot of confusion and dismay in the market. Since then, though, we have seen Bitcoin continue to flirt with new all-time highs. And just recently, it breached the $100,000 mark. Think about that. One Bitcoin, 1.8 million Rand. But this has certainly been one of the big news stories for 2024. We thought to give it a revisit and just reflect on the performance of the Bitcoin rally and key influences like the US elections that also played a factor here. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband, joins us now for more. Jan, such a pleasure to have you, sir. Oh, Jan, your mic is on mute. We're hoping that you can unmute. Maybe it's the December festivities. There we go.
I am unmuted. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Awesome. We're part of the staff writer team that still has the hard slog, right? Just before the festive break.
Yeah. I'm winding down, but Escrom posting results tomorrow, so yeah. We can't take off.
Exactly. That's definitely one we'll follow up on. Another company, or rather cryptocurrency, that keeps on shooting the lights out and posting new updates, especially on the back of the month of November, has to be Bitcoin. But Jan, we've been talking about this cryptocurrency for some time now, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a decade or just less. And it's really, really just evolved in terms of our understanding of cryptocurrencies. It is an asset class, but also as an opportunity where individuals have traded it, even used it as a store of value, and others who might still be too scared of it, but are intrigued by its phenomenal rally. Maybe let's just go back to unpacking the growth, the popularity, and the dynamism of Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, we're seeing again this year, Bitcoin following the four yearly cycle that it's become famous for. To recap, what makes Bitcoin unique, besides being the cryptocurrency that launched cryptocurrencies, it wasn't the absolute first, but it really kind of was in many respects the first of the cryptocurrency that we see now today. And it definitely wasn't the world's first digital currency, and it wasn't necessarily the first cryptocurrency, but it perfected a series of breakthroughs that just catapulted it into mainstream popularity. And also, the timing was right? Bitcoin launched just after the big market collapse in 2008, and so part of Bitcoin's popularity is because it was this rebellion against a financial system that people felt was failing there. Part of what makes Bitcoin unique is they can, unless somehow a protocol change gets voted through by the miners, first it has to go through like a whole rigmarole. It's like a change control process that then gets voted on. As the protocol stands today, there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoins. Mm-hmm. I think we're around 19 million, between 18 and 19 million mined out already. Part of the mechanism of making that happen is what they call the halving. Every 4 years, yes. Bitcoin or thereabouts, it's not set to a calendar, but based on the internal processing time of Bitcoin. But essentially, it boils down to roughly every 4 years, the block reward halves. Now, the block reward is what miners get paid to validate blocks of transactions, which means what miners get paid to secure the blockchain effectively. And so part of what makes Bitcoin unique is it has this mechanism of diminishing returns in the block reward. And like clockwork, every 4 years when the block reward halves, Bitcoin rallies and shoots the lights out. And it certainly speaks to basic economic inflationary theory, where essentially you are reducing the amount of new Bitcoin that gets printed. and suddenly there's a supply shock.
Yes.
And the price of Bitcoin needs to compensate rapidly to figure out what the fair price is. And this happens every 4 years, and it coincides with the elections. And so it's difficult to separate the one from the other, but I would argue that the halving is the real driving force behind Bitcoin's price action.
Got you. And that's really significant for us to remember, right? Because for the most part, many of us thought, oh, wow, it must be Donald Trump winning the U.S. elections. And then he made a critical appointment to the Securities Exchange, if I'm not mistaken, being a representative, yeah, as someone who was very liberal in terms of his view of cryptocurrencies and minimizing regulation thereof. Did that play any influence at all?
I mean, it could have. So it's always easy to assign a narrative after the fact. But we started seeing price action in Bitcoin long before the election results were in. And that absolutely was linked to the halving, in anticipation of the halving. And then post-halving, we started seeing the price of Bitcoin rally. And yeah, I mean, you can imagine that, you know, all the chatter around cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and a crypto-friendly regime in the United States made people look at crypto again and perhaps buy in. But I could also argue that a lot of Bitcoin's price action right now could actually come down to a company called MicroStrategy.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy called Michael Saylor, who's a big Bitcoin proponent. He effectively takes out debt in his company's name, MicroStrategy, and buys Bitcoin with it. And every 4 years, he looks like a hero. And then when Bitcoin crashes, his board rakes him over the coals. He's no longer CEO of his own company. Mm. He's chairman, or at least he's on the board, but he was deposed of his CEO role during the crash of 2022, and so there's stories like that. But MicroStrategy is aggressively buying Bitcoin, and at the amounts of Bitcoin that they're buying, you could say that some of the price action at least could be driven by that. And while, you know, there is a lot of sentiment around the fact that Donald Trump is talking a Bitcoin reserve for the United States and all that stuff, I am actually in the camp that I think Donald Trump would like to take credit, and his supporters would like to take credit for the current price action of Bitcoin, but really it's baked into the protocol. It happens every 4 years with a halving, regardless of who's in office. And there's other explanations for the current price rallies, because every time after there's a price rally, Michael Saylor climbs on Twitter and says, MicroStrategy has bought another chunk of Bitcoin, and this was the average buy-in price. And then when he stops buying, the price drops. So that's what might be fueling it right now. We will see in January what fuels it then, because usually what happens during these 4 year cycles is there's a massive mania phase in the year after the halving.
Yes,
and that's where we see these massive rallies in Bitcoin where they go up, where the price goes up 5-10 times. Now, as more people become aware of Bitcoin's cyclical nature, I think the volatility will decrease, but we could still see rallies of 100%, 150% in the coming year.
Definitely. And I think this is typically where people then make mistakes. I wanted to say clumsy mistakes, but it's a genuine one sometimes if you're not well researched or haven't followed through with the necessary information and insight that one needs to get. But for those who might feel like they've lost out on a rally and they want to get in, as you've mentioned, we've seen these cycles come and go, the price of Bitcoin spiking up and then decreasing significantly. What does it mean for those of us who have an interest in Bitcoin, want to get in, want to invest, want to trade, but of course paying special attention to the fact that in South Africa it is monitored by both SARS and the South African Reserve Bank. So any gains that you might make that you withdraw from your wallet essentially will then be taxed. So what do we do? What do we need to be mindful of? And how do we need to respond?
Yeah, you've mentioned a whole bunch of stuff to be mindful of. The fact that it is taxable, don't think that this is a way to dodge tax. You do have to declare your holdings. You do have to declare when you take profit. But, I mean, then you can also declare when you take a loss. So it cuts both ways. And so there's a couple of things, because the risks of Bitcoin have not changed in all the years I've covered the space. There's still a risk that you buy Bitcoin on an exchange and that exchange vanishes. And that happens especially after, so you get a massive boom cycle and then a bust cycle, and then a whole bunch of platforms collapse. And we saw that happen terribly during the last cycle with a major exchange, not just a fly by night, an exchange like FTX vanished because they played fast and loose with customer funds. We saw Celsius and BlockFi, platforms that people used as custodian providers for their Bitcoin. These companies market themselves as a trustworthy custodian, and they went prang for a variety of reasons, though the one was essentially a Ponzi and the other one was nuked, I think, along with FTX. So part of what I would tell people to when they get into Bitcoin is research the platform you're going to use carefully if you're going to use them as a custodian as well. But really, in the crypto space, we have a saying, not your keys, not your crypto. Yes. And what that means is people should actually look into taking responsibility of their own crypto wallets. That comes with its own whole set of pitfalls, because when you take responsibility, if you get hacked, if you forget your key or your passwords, or you lose your key or whatever the case might be, then you lose access to your tokens. There's plenty of stories of that in the space. And so this is something not to be taken on lightly. And to your point about whether it's too late, the best time to buy Bitcoin was, probably 2010. But the next best time is today. And so trying to time the market is incredibly difficult. And I would say rather focus on the other stuff that you need to become familiar with regards to investing in cryptocurrency, rather than trying to time the bottom.
Yeah.
But regarding price action, what people need to keep in mind is if you go in with all your savings and you don't have the emotional fortitude to watch your savings drop by 30, 40, maybe even 50, 60, 70% and ride it out. Like if you panic sell in the decline, then you lose. But if you can just hold on, then in all likelihood, because this is, obviously, just past performance is no guarantee of what Bitcoin will do in the future, but it's done this, I think, four times now. And certainly if you can hold through the lows, then you will live once again through a massive price rally and see your investment grow tremendously. 100%. But then, if you are one of the lucky ones who manages to do that, then you do need to keep in mind that at the end of it, if you want to cash out back to Rand, that's taxable. And if you start dabbling in other cryptocurrencies, like if you exchange Bitcoin for Ethereum or Cardano, ADA Cardano, or a BNB chain token, or whatever the case might be, XRP, Solana are also popular options nowadays, but that trade, when you trade Bitcoin for one of these other cryptocurrencies, is also a taxable event. So keep those things in mind as you start looking at dabbling in the space.
Such critical information that you're sharing with us here, Jan, especially understanding the tax implications that might be involved. Thank you so much, as always, for your time and for always being patient and kind enough to take us back to understanding the fundamentals and the recent updates and technicalities involved. We wish you a wonderful festive season, Jan.
And you too. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. I love talking about Bitcoin. I can do it for hours.
I know. Thank you. We certainly know, and we enjoy it thoroughly. Thank you so much again. That's Jan Vermeulen, who joins us as editor at My Broadband, helping us unpack one of the key big stories for this year, being Bitcoin. It's here on Kaya 959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.